We must not make a scarecrow of the law, setting it up to fear the birds of prey and let it keep one shape till custom make it their perch and not their terror.
Aye, but yet let us be keen and rather cut a little than fall and bruise to death. Alas, this gentleman whom I would save had a most noble father. Let but your honour know, whom I believe to be most straight in virtue, that in the working of your own affections, had time cohered with place or place with wishing, or that the resolute acting of your blood could have attained the effect of your own purpose, whether you had not some time in your life erred in this point, which now you censure him and pulled the law upon you.
'Tis one thing to be tempted, Aeschylus, another thing to fall. I not deny the jury passing on the prisoner's life may in the sworn 12 have a thief or two guiltier than him they try. What's open made to justice, that justice seizes. What knows the laws that thieves do pass on thieves? 'Tis very pregnant, the jewel that we find, we stoop and take it because we see it. But what we do not see, we tread upon and never think of it. You may not so extenuate his offence, for I have had such faults, but rather tell me, when I that censure him do so offend, let mine own judgment pattern out my death, and nothing come impartial. Sir, he must die.
Be it as your wisdom will.
Where is the provost?
Here, if you like, your honour.
See that Claudio be executed by 9 tomorrow morning. Bring him his confessor, let him be prepared, for that's the utmost of his pilgrimage.
Well, heaven forgive him, and forgive us all. Some rise by sin, and some by virtue fall. Some run from breaks of ice and answer none, and some condemned for a fault alone.
Come, bring them away. If these be good people of a common weal that do nothing but use their abuses in common houses, I know no law. Bring them away.
How now, sir? What's your name, and what's the matter?
If it please your honour, I am the poor Duke's constable, and my name is Elbow. I do lean upon justice, sir, and do bring in here, before your good honour, 2 notorious benefactors.
Benefactors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what benefactors are they? Are they not malefactors?
If you please, your honour, I know not well what they are, but precise villains they are, that I am sure of, and void of all profanation in the world that good Christians ought to have.
This comes off well. Here's a wise officer.
Go to. What quality are they of? Elbow is your name. Why dost thou not speak, Elbow?
He cannot, sir. He's out at Elbow.
What are you, sir?
He, sir? A tapster, sir. Parcel bawd. One that serves a bad woman, whose house, sir, was, as they say, plucked down in the suburbs. And now she professes a hothouse, which I think is a very ill house, too.
How know you that?
My wife, sir, whom I detest before heaven and your honour.
How? Thy wife?
Aye, sir, whom I thank heaven is an honest woman.
Dost thou detest her, therefore?
I say, sir, I will detest myself also, as well as she, that this house, if it be not a bawd's house, it is pity of her life, for it is a naughty house.
How dost thou know that, constable?
Oh, marry, sir, by my wife, who, if she had been a woman cardinally given, might have been accused in fornication, adultery, and all uncleanliness there.
By the woman's means?
Aye, sir, by Mistress Overdone's means. But as she spit in his face, so she defied him.
Sir, if it please your honour, this is not so.
Prove it before these varlets here, thou honourable man, prove it.
Do you hear how he misplaces?
Sir, she came in great with child, and longing, saving your honour's reverence, for stewed prunes. Sir, we had but 2 in the house, which at the very distant time stood, as it were, in a fruit dish. A dish of some threepence. Your honours have seen such dishes. They are not china dishes, but very good dishes.
Go to, no matter for the dish, sir.
No, indeed, sir, not of a pin. You are therein i' the right, but to the point. As I say, this Mistress Elbow, being, as I say, with child, and being great-bellied, and longing, as I said, for prunes, and having but 2 in the dish, as I said, Master Frothier, this very man, having eaten the rest, as I said, and as I say, paying for them very honestly, for as you know, Master Froth, I could not give you threepence again.
No, indeed.
Very well. You being then, if you be remembered, cracking the stones of the foresaid prunes.
Aye, so I did, indeed.
Why, very well. I telling you then, if you be remembered, that such a one and such a one were past cure of the thing you wot of, unless they kept very good diet, as I told you.
All this is true.
Why, very well, then.
Oh, come! You are a tedious fool, to the purpose. What was done to Elbow's wife that he hath cause to complain of? Come me to what was done to her.
Well, sir, your honour cannot come to that yet.
No, sir, nor I mean it not.
Sir, but you shall come to it by your honour's leave, and I beseech you, look into Master Frothier, sir, a man of 40 pound a year, whose father died at Hallowmas. Was not at Hallowmas, Master Froth?
All Hallowmas.
Oh, why, very well. I hope here be truth. He, sir, sitting, as I say, in a lower chair. Sir, 'twas in the bunch of grapes, where indeed you have a delight to sit, have you not?
I have so, because it is an open room and good for winter.
Why, very well, then. I hope here be truth.
This will last out a night in Russia, when nights are longest there. I'll take my leave, and leave you to the hearing of the cause, hoping you'll find good cause to whip them all.
I think no less. Good morrow to your lordship. Now, sir, come on. What was done to Elbow's wife once more?
Well, sir, there was nothing done to her once.
I beseech you, sir, ask him what this man did to my wife.
I beseech your honour, ask me.
Well, sir, what did this gentleman to her?
I beseech you, sir, look in this gentleman's face. Good Master Froth, look upon his honour. Tis for a good purpose. Doth your honour mark his face?
Aye, sir, very well.
Nay, I beseech you, mark it well.
Well, I do so.
Doth your honour see any harm in his face?
Why, no.
I'll be supposed upon a book his face is the worst thing about him. Good then, if his face be the worst thing about him, how could Master Froth do the constable's wife any harm? I would know that of your honour.
He is in the right. Constable, what say you to it?
First, and it like you, the house is a respected house. Next, this is a respected fellow, and his mistress is a respected woman.
By this answer, his wife is a more respected person than any of us all.
Varlet, thou liest. Thou liest, wicked varlet. The time is yet to come that she was ever respected with man, woman, or child.
Sir, she was respected with him before he married with her.
Which is the wiser here, justice or iniquity? Is this true?
Oh, thou caitiff. Oh, thou varlet. Oh, thou wicked Hannibal. I respected with her before I was married to her. If ever I was respected with her or she with me, let not your worship think me the poor Duke's officer. Prove this, thou wicked Hannibal, or I'll have mine action of battery on thee.
If he took you a box of the ear, you might have your action of slander, too. Oh,
Mary, I thank your good worship for it. What is your worship's pleasure I shall do with this wicked caitiff?
Truly, officer, because he hath some offences in him that thou wouldst discover if thou couldst, let him continue in his courses till thou knowest what they are.
Mary, I thank your worship for it. Thou seest, thou wicked varlet, now what's come upon thee. Thou art to continue now, thou varlet. Thou art to continue.
Where were you born, friend?
Here in Vienna, sir.
Are you of 40 pounds a year?
Yes, and please you, sir.
Sir, what trade are you of, sir?
A tapster, a poor widow's tapster.
Your mistress' name?
Mistress Overdone.
Hath she had any more than one husband?
9, sir. Overdone by the last.
9. Come hither to me, Master Froth. Master Froth, I would not have you acquainted with tapsters. They will draw you, Master Froth, and you will hang them. Get you gone. Let me hear no more of you.
Thank your worship. For mine own part, I never come into any room in a tap house, but I am drawn in.
Well, no more of it, Master Froth. Farewell. Come you hither to me, Master Tapster. What's your name, Master Tapster?
Pompey.
What else?
Bum, sir.
Troth, and your bum is the greatest thing about you. so that in the beastliest sense you are Pompey the Great. Pompey, you are partly a bored Pompey, howsoever you colour it in being a tapster, are you not? Come, tell me true. It shall be the better for you.
Truly, sir, I am a poor fellow that would live.
How would you live, Pompey? By being a bawd? What do you think of the trade, Pompey? Is it a lawful trade?
Well, if the law would allow it, sir.
But the law will not allow it, Pompey, nor it shall not be allowed in Vienna.
Does your worship mean to geld and splay all the youth of the city?
No, Pompey.
Truly, sir, in my poor opinion, they will to it then. If your worship will take order for the drabs and the knaves, you need not to fear the boards.
There is pretty orders beginning, I can tell you. It is but heading and hanging.
Well, if you head and hang all that offend that way, but for 10 years together, you'll be glad to give out a commission for more heads. If this law hold in Vienna 10 years, I'll rent the fairest house in it after threepence a bay. If you live to see this come to pass, say, Pompey told you so.
Thank you, good Pompey, and in requital of your prophecy, hark you. I advise you, let me not find you before me again upon any complaint whatsoever. No, not for dwelling where you do. If I do, Pompey, I shall beat you to your tent and prove a shrewd Caesar to you. In plain dealing, Pompey, I shall have you whipped. So for this time, Pompey, fare you well.
I thank your worship for your good counsel.
But I shall follow it as the flesh and fortune shall better determine. Whip me? No, no. Let Carmen whip his jade. The valiant heart's not whipped out of his trade.
Come hither to me, Master Elbow. Come hither, Master Constable. How long have you been in this place of constable?
7 years and a half, sir.
I thought by the readiness in the office you had continued in it some time. You say 7 years together?
And a half, sir.
Alas, it hath been great pains to you. They do you wrong to put you so oft upon it. Are there not men in your ward sufficient to serve it?
Faith, sir, few of any wit in such matters. As they are chosen, they are glad to choose me for them. I do it for some piece of money and go through with all.
Look, you bring me in the names of some 6 or 7, the most sufficient of your parish.
To your worship's house, sir?
To my house. Fare you well. What's the clock, think you?
11, sir.
I pray you, home to dinner with me.
I humbly thank you.
It grieves me for the death of Claudio, but there's no remedy.
Lord Angelo is severe.
It is but needful. Mercy is not itself that oft looks so. Pardon is still the nurse of second woe. But yet, poor Claudio. There is no remedy. Come, sir.